Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hope Mindful Compassion Show. My name is Paul Garrigan and I look after the mindfulness program here at Hope.
And I'm Samina Khan. I'm one of the therapists here at Hope.
So Samina, today you want to talk about shame.
It's a subject that I'm really passionate about because I have a belief that so much shame is involved with addiction.
In what way?
In that the feeling of shame or the feeling of believing that there's something wrong with you or there's something bad about you fuels addiction. That feeling can become so unbearable that people need to do something to get themselves away from it.
And would this be something that begins in childhood always, or kind of is it?
Oftentimes it begins in childhood. There's a huge connection. There's something called the ACE studies, Adverse Childhood Experiences, that has been shown to be highly, highly correlated with addiction. And so adverse childhood experiences are experiences such as neglect or abuse or witness to these things that happen in childhood that then mean you're much more likely to be an addict in later life.
And do we have a definition for shame?
I would say, so this is from Brené Brown, who's one of the leading shame researchers, and it is the difference. She distinguishes between shame and guilt. So shame for her is I am bad, whereas guilt is I have done something bad. So it's the distinction between the person and the behavior. So with shame, we think it's our essence that is bad, that if there's something fundamentally wrong with us. Whereas with guilt is that I have done a behaviour that is bad.
And from what you sort of read of it and know of it, is this something that for some reason has become an increasing problem in recent decades, or has it always been a problem?
So also one of the links that she has with shame is the sense of us needing to belong, to be accepted, to be part of our tribe, as it were. And I think probably in recent years, with the prevalence of social media, the internet, we've been given much more of a very strong image of what's acceptable, how we need to look, how we need to be, what kind of relationship we should have. So I think that has grown stronger. And along with that, there's been the lack of family connection. So it's like the two together. So there's a lack of feeling connected within families, like families are split, people move away, and then the pressure coming outside of how you need to be. So I think it's a combination.
So would you sort of say, is shame generally a bad thing, or is it just this excessive shame? Is there a need for some shame, say the shame to do wrong?
Absolutely. And again, it's very interesting, Brené Brown talks about this, that she says, to have shame is actually just very normal. It's part of being a human being. And that if we didn't have shame, we're probably a psychopath or a sociopath. Because shame is our sense of wanting to belong. And so if you don't have that, that's probably not a good thing. But yes, excessive shame or toxic shame, where we're really crippled by it, that is the thing that can lead to addiction.
And what type of symptoms? So if someone has this kind of more, chronic shame
or toxic.
Toxic shame. What type of symptoms would people experience?
They would find it really difficult to be just with themselves. There would be such a low sense of self-worth. The self-talk would be really corrosive around that person, thinking, you know, that there was just something wrong with them, there was something fundamentally flawed, these types of things that it's very, very hard to be with. So the person will then just need to avoid and run away from those feelings.
And would a person necessarily realise that they were full of shame?
Not necessarily. It's not something, because it's one of those things that we tend to repress or suppress. And again, something that's really interesting is that when we experience shame, it's actually exactly the same as experiencing an actual physical threat. And so it goes to our reptilian brain, our limbic system, and it promotes a fight, flight, freeze response. So it's really interesting how we can literally get frozen or need to run away when we feel shame, or fight. So it'll be one of those three things.
And how would it lead into addiction? So say you have a teenager who's feeling full of shame, how would that actually lead to substance abuse?
So the inability to be with those feelings would need to, you need numbing, would need distraction, would need something to enable them to get away from those overwhelming feelings. And that's where using would come in.
And that would sort of feel at the time like a solution?
Yes, absolutely, because it would numb the unbearable feelings.
And so why doesn't that work?
Because over time, it's maybe it's a short-term solution, but then it creates the long-term problem.
And so would you say then, would you say this applies to most people with addiction problems, the vast majority?
I would say so. I think it's something that applies to every single person I've ever worked with addiction. I'd actually say it applies to pretty much everyone, actually, who has some degree, like we all have suffering. I mean, that's the first noble truth, that we all have suffering. But it's the degree of how well we can function in our lives. Our ability to have the life, the vitality, the joy that we want. And people who can't have that, often then there's a correlation with shame.
And what if people, okay, so people reach this point where they're willing to give up alcohol and drugs, but is this something they're necessarily going to want to deal with?
I think it needs to be dealt with. And I think in a place such as Hope, where we have a very strong therapeutic community. So again, Brené Brown talks about the antidote to shame. And the antidote to shame is actually being able to... So she talks about shame needing three components: secrecy, silence, and judgment. And so to combat the secrecy and the silence, to speak, to openly share, and to talk. And so that's what we can promote here at Hope.
And your experiences are usually some resistance to that?
You know, it was a really interesting analogy one of our clients came up with last week. He said, so if you're standing on the edge of a pool and the water looks cold and you're kind of hesitant to go in, he said, but then if you see people jumping in and they look like they're having a good time, then you're more inclined to jump in yourself. So it's the same thing. There could be some reluctance, but when you see other people doing it and surviving and thriving, then it encourages you to do the same. So it's the same here. When someone shares and you see that, oh, and also the thing about shame is that when someone shares, everyone can relate to it. It's like everyone can go, oh, me too. I understand where you're coming from. So it immediately takes away that sense of it's only me.
What would be the opposite of shame?
Self-acceptance, some self-compassion, actually. So knowing that we all suffer, which is a given, but how do we meet the suffering? And so compassion is the antidote, to actually meet ourselves with compassion.
So, but I'm sure you've met clients who really feel that in their particular case, that, you know, the stuff they may feel incredibly ashamed about.
Yeah.
And, you know, and potentially be quite shocking stuff.
Yeah.
How would you approach someone like that? I mean, how would you deal with that?
So very slowly and gently. And again, I think it's the community that really helps, because the more that you hear from other people sharing their stories, then you recognise, oh, my story. Okay, maybe it may be some degrees, whatever that is, worse. But when you see other people sharing, and also you notice how you feel when other people share, and you notice that doesn't tend to be so much judgment within this community, then it invites you to be able to be honest and share things too.
Because I was going to say, I mean, if people are very, very judgmental about themselves, I mean, would that not make them very judgmental of other people?
And that's what's really interesting, is that in this environment, you actually see that people... There is very little judgment that people hold towards each other. It is a community where people are very supportive of each other.
What's the danger? So if you get a client saying, look, I don't want to go there.
Well, you're not going to force anyone, but there's a gentle invitation. Mm. And I think the invitation...
But if they don't want to go there, what's the danger for them?
Well, if you don't want to go somewhere... So one of the things I often say with my clients is that change is not going to be comfortable. Change involves stepping outside your comfort zone, which by nature is uncomfortable. And so, yeah, it's not going to be necessarily easy, but the rewards are huge.
And would failure to deal with it make someone more likely to relapse, for example?
I would think so, actually, that if there is places in you that you're not prepared to go to, then there are little pockets that are more likely that can be touched when you leave and trigger you.
And how do you suggest to clients to, you know, because obviously they're not going to completely sort of deal with all of this while they're here. So what sort of techniques or therapy would you advise after they leave here?
Yeah. So obviously, like, awareness is huge. So to know about shame, to know about the components, and then I would really advise the awareness and then the self-compassion. Self-compassion is a real antidote to shame.
And you mentioned Brené Brown and Chris Annette. Is there any books you would recommend to people?
Yes, so Brené Brown, she's got some wonderful TED Talks. So you can easily Google some of her TED Talks, so like in the top 10 of most watched TED Talks. And Brené Brown has a book called Mindful Self-Compassion. So I would definitely recommend those. And also, it was Kristen Neff who has the book on Mindful Self-Compassion. And then Brené Brown has a great one called Daring Greatly.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to add to that? That was wonderful.
No, I'm just the connection. So how shame fosters addiction and compassion, self-compassion can really be the antidote. And so just being aware of that dynamic can be really helpful.
Brilliant. Thanks, Anita.